Let me invite you tonight as we come to the study of God's Word to open your Bible with me again to the book of 1 John in the first chapter, 1 John chapter 1 tonight. We're going to begin here, but we're not going to linger long here. There is much for us to discover tonight, but I do want to begin with really just again the first verse of this epistle that we are studying in our morning services. As we began to unfold the letter of John to the churches, we discovered at the end of verse 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word, is described to us as the Word of Life. The idea of the meaning of the Word of Life is that by Jesus Christ came to mankind the message of God that had the power to give life and to change life forever. Jesus Christ is the Word of Life. William Barclay made this statement. He said that the Word of Life can change death into life and mere existence into real living. You and I have the wonderful blessing and the opportunity, because we know Jesus Christ and because God has given to us the message of His Word. And by the way, the message of the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, He is the theme of all that we discover. But tonight, as we come to the study of God's Word, I want us to look and see how God has chosen to declare His message to us. We want to focus on the Word of the Lord. We want to focus on His message that He has shared. So our title this evening is A Word Concerning the Gospel. I want you to bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we're going to commit this time to the Lord and then take up our thoughts this evening together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight that we're able to come to the Word of God. We thank You that as we come to the Scripture, we can find these descriptions of the message that You have given to us, the Gospel. And Father, I pray that as we consider them, as we see them, as we behold them tonight in the pages of Your Word, that, Lord, You would open again the eyes of our understanding, that we would give thanks for that which You have done, how You have revealed Yourself to us, what Your message really is all about. Father, we need to be convinced of this message. We need to have it settled within our own heart. It ought to thrill our soul that the very God of heaven, the Creator of all the earth, the omnipotent, omniscient God who is holy, revealed Himself to mankind. Lord, we were unworthy of such revelation, yet You have given to us Your message that we might know You and know the way of salvation. So, Father, I pray that You would teach us tonight as we go through this short and simple study. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the pages of our New Testament, we find over and over again that the message of God has been declared to mankind. We commonly use the term the gospel. But in the Word of God, we'll simply find God's message referred to as a word. And there are various descriptions within our New Testament that define or describe this word from the Lord, this message given to us by God. I think all of us understand that words are significant to human life. They're significant to everything that we do. In fact, we count on words for our daily living. Words allow us to communicate with others. Words allow us to share our thoughts and to share our hearts with other people. Words allow us to preserve legacies, and they allow us to escape at times from reality. And so the concept is that there are many words which are used. There's many a message that is given to us. Words can bring us joy, and they can also be a source of comfort. Yet sadly, Words can also be used to tear down and destroy others simply for our own good pleasure. Words are significant. Words have power. Words have meaning. And words always convey a message. God has chosen to reveal to us Himself and His message through the medium of words. He has promised to preserve that word for the benefit of all. As God's message is called a word, it's important that we understand how that word is conveyed and how that word is then connected to us in life. And so tonight I want to consider several of these connections and see how God's message can be described to us as His word. There's several things I want to go through tonight. We don't have time to tarry long with any of them, but I want you to notice them with me tonight. First of all, God's message is the Word of God. God's message is the Word of God, and that perhaps is the most common expression that we use to convey or talk about the message that God has shared with mankind, the Word of God. And yet, as often as we use that phrase, I wonder how often we have stopped to consider what it means that we speak of the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of Life. And His message is now called for us the Word of God. If you have your Bible, open up with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at a number of different passages tonight for our consideration. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, tells us this concerning the Word of God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, and he describes to them the Word of God. And he says, as you receive the Word of God, you received it as it is. Not the words and the opinions of man, but as it is in truth, the very Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says, and tells us that we are to give heed to those who teach us the Word of God, because they are giving us God's word. He says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, as you listen to those who teach you, and as they teach you the word of God, he exhorts them, follow them. Because they are giving to you not the word of men, but the word of God. Now you and I consider the thought, the word of God. What I want you to consider with me tonight is simply this. That phrase means that the message that is given is not by means of human discovery. The message that you and I have comes from God. How often do you and I simply refer to this book as the Word of God? Yet I wonder when we have last stopped to consider that which is found, the message of this book came directly from the mind and heart of the Almighty. See, folks, the Scripture makes it very clear that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And now, we didn't receive the Scripture by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You and I have before us the very words of God. It originated in His heart.
What you hold before you is not the interpretation of man. I have shelves of interpretations of men. We call them commentaries. We call them books. This is God's Word. It comes directly from the very heart of Almighty God. The message that we received is God's Word from us. And if God had not revealed it to us, you and I would have never known the truth. We would have never discovered it on our own. You know that? Folks, you and I would not know naturally in our mind that God is holy, God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, God is eternal. You and I would not have discovered those things on our own. By the way, let's become even more practical. You and I would not know how to raise our family in a way that is beneficial to our home unless God told us how. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't know that I agree with that." Listen, folks, we're not very good at it as human beings unless God tells us how to do it. How do I know that? Go to any library, go to any book. In fact, go down to chapters this week, find any book on parenting and see how good their advice is. It's not all that good. By the way, go to Book and Bible and pick up a book from the Christian bookstore on parenting and see if theirs is any better. The only value that you will find is that their truth is based on the Word of God. It is God that tells us how our marriage ought to run and how it best ought to function. Do you really believe mankind would have come up with a system that says, "Husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit unto your husbands, and there will be perfect harmony and perfect peace"? Think about that, folks. Christians struggle with those two thoughts. Wives say, "Submit, forget it." The best that humankind can come up with is, "Ladies rule and men obey." Or, "Men, I do my own thing and my family is there to please me in everything that I so desire." Not men sacrifice of themselves for their wives, and their wives show affection to their husband and to their children, and submit unto the authority of their husbands, and be a helpmeet for them. We would have never figured that out on our own, except God revealed it to us. What you and I possess in front of us, folks, is the words of God. Not coming to us from the mind of man. It comes to us directly from the very mind of God. Second, I want you to see with me that God's message is the Word of the Lord. It's the Word of the Lord. To many, there may seem to be not much distinction between this phrase and the Word of God. However, I really think there is a difference. And I think we need to pick up on the difference here. It is not only the Word of God, but it is the Word of the Lord. In your New Testament, most often when the term Lord is used, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. And so the Scripture refers to God's message as the Word of the Lord. As Paul begins to close his letter, his final letter, 2 Thessalonians, to the church of Thessalonica, he asked them that they would pray that the Word of the Lord would have free course. This is what he says. "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Paul is writing his final letter to them. He is giving his final communication. And he is asking that he now goes on and continues in ministry. "Pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." See, God's message is called not only the Word of God, but the Word of the Lord. The idea of that phrase is this, simply this. This message that we have, that is proclaimed, the gospel, could have only come to us through God's beloved Son. It's His Word. It's a message centered on Him. The message in which we rejoice is the message of the Lord Jesus, He who would save His people from their sins. It's His message. It's centered on Christ. The gospel comes to us by Jesus Christ. He is the whole reason that God has communicated to us, that we would know Him and have fellowship with Him, to enjoy Him. It's the word of the Lord. You and I would have never known the gospel if Jesus Christ wasn't part of that picture. Because there is no good news apart from Him. But God has made the gospel known through us. Consider this with me in the New Testament, Old Testament. The focus of the Old Testament message that God had for His people was focused on whom or what? Messiah. Prophecies were written of Him. Everyone was anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Who is that? Matthew and Luke tell you it is Jesus Christ who came and fulfilled the prophecies of the old. The word of the Lord reminds us that God's message is brought to us through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no other way. See, folks, when you go back to 1 John and you consider what's going on in John's writing, he is writing, and when you understand what Peter was dealing with and Paul was dealing with in the early church, is that many were coming in saying, listen, I appreciate your way, but there's another way. But it's the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the message of Him that is essential to our teaching and to the gospel. Because apart from Jesus Christ, folks, there really is very little for us to simply share. He came and died that we might be redeemed. God's message, third, is also a word of hearing. It is a word of hearing. Now, we're not going to find the word hearing per se in any text, but I want you to look at two passages of Scripture with me. Because again, this is descriptive for us. It is a word of hearing, a word of proclamation. Again, I want you to turn back to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. There again we read, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The key phrase of that verse is the word of God which ye heard of us. In the original, it literally reads logos akios. And that's going to actually be found in another verse, just like that, logos akios. That's found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Where we read, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, folks, God's message is a message that is intended to be heard. It's intended to be proclaimed. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica and says, the word which ye heard of us. In Hebrews, he says, the word of the gospel that was preached. It was preached to us, it was preached to them, but they didn't hear what was presented because it wasn't mixed in faith. See, folks, God's message is a message intended to be heard. Both of these verses remind us that there must be, first of all, a willingness to proclaim. And then secondly, there must be by others a willingness to receive, a readiness to hear. When you and I come each week and we sit within our pews and we go
go through our worship services and we sing our hymns and we give of our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, and then we come to the time of preaching, two things have to happen for it to be beneficial. Number one, the preacher needs to proclaim God's word. But number two, the listener needs to open their ears and listen and hear what is proclaimed. See, you can come and you can do your duty and everyone can think that everything's okay because you were at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But if you do not hear, God's message has no benefit in your life. Because God's word and His message is intended to be heard and for it to be proclaimed. God intends that mankind receive that message. By the way, how will they ever hear except there first be a preacher? There's a need for us to proclaim, so we ought to be ready always to give a reason of the hope that lieth in us. God's message is to be proclaimed, and we need to be ready not only to proclaim it, but folks, when time comes, to be ready to hear what is proclaimed. Number four, God's message is the word of the gospel. It is the word of the gospel. I want you to consider two other passages with me. First, Acts 15 and verse 7. Acts 15 and verse 7. We read there, And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 we read, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. God's message is referred to the word of the gospel. The gospel, we know, is a word that means good news. And folks, certainly there is no better good news than the message of God's saving faith. And what we need to proclaim and what needs to be heard and what needs to be known and what we need to understand and rejoice in is God made known to us the good news. Don't you like good news? How many of you, when someone says to you, I've got good news and bad news, always ask for the bad news first? I'd rather get the good news. I know I'm going to get the bad news anyway. There's always seems to be bad news that comes. But we like good news. Folks, God's message, His word, the word of the Lord, is good news. Why wouldn't we want to proclaim that? By the way, when you have good news, do you tend to keep that to yourself or tell others about it? If you have no heartbeat, you probably keep it to yourself. But typically, when we have good news, we are quick to share. God's message that you possess is good news. It's good news. And we ought to share that good news. It's described that way to us. We often refer to it as the gospel. As if it's some high and lofty thing that men cannot attain unto. Folks, it's good news. It should ring forth from our lips. Jesus Christ, who was God, came to earth and He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary to pay for my sin. We all know we're sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But praise God, He cared for me. He loved me. He sent Jesus to die for me. And by simple faith to say that He has provided for me salvation, you too can be saved. Good news! Hell's not an option! Heaven can be home! Good news! We ought to share that good news. That's what God has given to us. There are many other things that I want you to see with me tonight. The rest of this list we're going to move through rather quickly. But I want you to catch it, and I want you to be reminded of the wonderful blessings that are ours because God has revealed Himself to us. God's message, folks, is a word of grace. It's a word of grace. Acts 20, verse 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." God's good news is a word of grace. It reminds us of God's generous and undeserved love. His love is not something that you and I can earn. It is all of grace. And oh, that we would be reminded of His unmerited favor. You did nothing to deserve it, but God revealed it to you. Folks, sometimes you and I really do take this book for granted. We have multiple copies of it. We can read it, we cannot read it. We sometimes forget to take it with us on important events like going to church. It can sit in our car all week and have no impact. It can sit on our coffee table and we never open it. Because somehow along the way, we've come to think that I deserve this message. God was wise in giving it to me. Sometimes I wonder how we think that way when we don't ever take advantage of what He has given. I'm not questioning the wisdom of God, but I am questioning the foolishness of men. This is His word. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't have to be told that Jesus died for me, that He saved me from my sin, and if I believe on Him, I'll be saved. The Spirit of God didn't have to convict my heart, but He did. Why? Because this message is a word of grace. God's unmerited favor. It is also a word of salvation. In Acts 13:26, we find that the gospel, the good news, is referred to as a word of salvation. Here, God's good news, we find, is that of forgiveness of sins. It's good news because it reminds us of His power to overcome sin in our lives. It saved me from sin. It conquered sin within my life. I have received the message of salvation. Folks, you understand that when the good news came to you, when God's message was presented to you at that moment that you believed, you were redeemed, you were saved, delivered from the penalty of sin. Understand that? On top of that, God gave you everything that you needed to conquer sin in your daily life. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has to have dominion over you. It's only as you allow it. Sin's penalty was paid for, you were delivered. Sin's power and its bondage was broken. You are no longer a child of wrath. You're a child of God. Adopted into His family, all the rights and privileges of sonship. You've been saved. You've been delivered. Here's the wonderful blessing. That message, because received, is going to deliver us one day from the very presence of sin. See, folks, when I get to heaven and I see Jesus Christ, I'm going to be like Him. And all the problems of this world will be gone. Sin will no longer have its pull on me. I'm going to be like Him. The Bible also tells us that God's message is a word of reconciliation. It's a word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The gospel's a word of reconciliation. That term reminds us that our relationship with God, which was lost because of sin, is restored by Jesus Christ. The word of God, the word of the Lord, his message is one of reconciliation. See, folks, when Adam sinned, the fellowship was broken. Adam used to walk in the cool of the day with the Lord in the garden. He talked with the Lord. But when sin entered, so left the fellowship, but God provided a way through Jesus Christ. And all who come to Christ, we find, have that relationship restored. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, and he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It provided my opportunity for fellowship. Again, remember John's words in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. He has written that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship truly is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. God's message is a word of reconciliation. It is also a word of truth. Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 that he is to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. When I think about the fact that God's message is a word of truth, here's what it says to me. The guesswork is gone because I've got truth. See, God's word is truth. It is absolute. I don't have to guess anymore. I don't have to try to find my own way. That's what men are doing apart from Christianity and apart from the gospel. If I can just do this, then God will be pleased. If I can just go this way, I'll find my own way. Hopefully, in the end, God will say, that has been good enough. You're acceptable in my sight. Just do enough. I'll do it my own way. And our pride likes our own way. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And God's message is the truth. It is absolute. It is trustworthy. I can rest on it. It has been proven. I don't have to guess anymore. Now, folks, if you have the ability to get around without a GPS or without a map, and you can kind of guess and kind of end up somewhere, that's okay. But I would prefer to know exactly how to get there. Some people are directionally challenged. I'm glad I'm not at least directionally challenged. I can usually find my way. But it's a whole lot easier when you have the way before you and you can trust it. I like when someone says to me, here's how you get there, and I can trust them that they're telling me the truth and not sending me the wrong way on purpose. Truth is a wonderful thing. There's no guesswork in it. Is God's message true? Absolutely. How do we have eternal life? I have the truth. How do I raise my family? I have the truth. How do I interact with other people? How do I work in my office place? And how do I deal with difficult people? I have the truth. God's given it to me. Our final thought is this. God's message is a word of righteousness. It is a word of righteousness. Hebrews 5 verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." God's word, his message, breaks the bondage of sin and causes us to walk in newness of life. It's a way of righteousness. I'm glad for that. See, the Bible tells me again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I like how it ends. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God can be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. See, God's message is a word of righteousness. It corrects me, it instructs me in the way I ought to go, that I can be equipped to set sail unto the good works that God has ordained for me. Because by the way, Ephesians 2 verse 8, 9, and 10 say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." God's word is a word of righteousness that leads me to the works, the good works he has ordained. Beloved, you and I are blessed because of the message we have received of God. Let me ask you tonight, is that message in your life being taken for granted? When's the last time that you referred to this book as the Word of God, that you really pondered the fact that His Word is directly from the heart and mind of the Almighty? That it's the Word of the Lord and Jesus Christ essential. It is good news. It is grace and righteousness and truth. So easy for us to become so accustomed to the word of the Lord, the word of God. Tonight I trust that we'll take the time and offer him the praise of our lips as we remember how God has communicated to us through his word. By the way, those words which are significant and needful and so precious. I trust tonight that we'll give God thanks for his words revealed to us. Let's pray, please.